Sahanau bhunaktu sahaviryan karavavahai tejasvinavadhitamastu mavirvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Bhagavat Sandarbha Adhyayana 3 Adhikarna 2 Bhagavan's medium-sized form is omnipotent and all-pervasive. Page 21. Raghunath Das Babaji. My son, you have allowed yourself to be trapped by mundane logic and irrationalization. So doubts cloud your mind. As long as the intelligence is encaged by the three material modes, it cannot properly perceive Shuddha-sattva, pure goodness. Yet, in its vain attempt to do so, it merely interpolates the gross dimensions upon the spiritual platform of Shuddha-sattva and finally constructs a material picture. Right? Because you have to work from something you know into something that you don't know. And so, since all they know is the mundane, and that it has to be by their rationale, it's not so much by authority, then they have to construct something mundane, because all they know is mundane. Yeah? Intimidated by this overbearing and confounding concoction of the material mind, the material intelligence then seeks escape into the impersonal conception of monistic Brahman. Unfortunate, if this reaction becomes fixed, it closes the door to perception and realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So as soon as you go for impersonalism and are committed to that, it closes the door on understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? Because you're starting at the opposite end. You're starting with the impersonal is there, and that's the Supreme, so that means any other feature has to be material. Right? But if you start with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then how he expands and all that, then you can get both. I mean, all three. So they cannot know. That's the whole point. As long as they maintain their impersonal concept, they cannot know the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's that simple. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah. From Maharaj, it depends of can say, postulate, no? The first idea. It depends of that.
Yes.
Krishna, if we don't accept God.
Yes. If we don't accept God as a person, then that means there has to be impersonalism, right? And so when we come up with that impersonal, because we're using the mundane rationale, right, based on things we already know. Because we're working on the principle that if form gives shape here, then spiritual means no form. What about form here means problem? That means spiritual doesn't give problem. Because they're looking for an opposite. Why not spiritual form doesn't give problem? You know, it's just like, let us say, I'm trying to feed myself in the mirror, and it's not working out very well, right? There's no satisfaction. So then I come up with the point is then not eating and having no form, that's the solution. Why not just feed the original rather than the reflection? Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty, because they've removed the idea of the personal, then they can't actually understand the absolute truth. That's why it says vague. You know, unlimited, yes, he is. Unchanging, yes, he is. But that's all the further they can do. You know, the absolute truth, yes. But the point is that's why it's very important that you start from Krishna's medium-sized form is omnipotent and all-pervasive. You have to start there, because omnipotency and all-pervasiveness, these are the things that omnipotence is what they don't accept. All pervasive, yes. All knowledge, yes. But not omnipotent. Right? So that's the difficulty. So they're only accepting vaguely some aspects of himself. Right? However, when we understand that the human-like appearance of the Supreme Lord is completely spiritual, then the discrepancies mentioned by you are done away with. Nirakara, formlessness, nirvikara, immutability, Nishkriya, inactivity, and so on actually indicate the transcendental nature of the Krishna's form, which comprises of a spiritual status inherently distinct from the qualities of the perceivable material creation. Right? So he has all these qualities. That's what makes it spiritual. Because we're thinking it has to be by rationale. But now, if we're looking at it, rationale is material. Why would we think that we can understand spiritual by material process? Right? We throw out God, throw out God's form and everything, but we keep the material intelligence and give that an authoritative position. So we can see it's just a material attachment. One's to karma, this is to jnana. So it's not that it's any less material. It's just differently material. Right? So therefore, these terms may be taken as retrospectively indicating spiritual qualities through negation. Juxtapositioned with them, however, are positive descriptions of Krishna's excellences, such as a bright and beaming face, eyes like lotus petals, the cool sanctuary of his lotus feet, exquisite and graceful limbs, and so on. Thus, his spiritual form and pure goodness is described. The Madhyamakara, human-like form of Krishna, is the embodiment of both kinds of characteristics, form and all-pervasiveness, and is extremely exquisite. In the Narada Pancharatra, we come across this statement, Nirdosha Purna Guna Grahatma Tantre Nishche Tanatmaka Sharira Gunaischa Hina Ananda Matra Karapada Mukho Daradhi Sarvatracha Swagata Bheda Vivarjitatma. The Supreme Personality of Godhead possesses a perfect, omniscient, transcendental form. The Lord's body is not material. Without consciousness and experience, the three stages of birth, maintenance and destruction. In fact, his body is saturated with divine consciousness, devoid of mundane qualities, super mundane, and infused with spiritual bliss. All the parts and limbs of his body are blissful. His body is free from the duality that distinguishes the body from the self, the qualities from the person. It is fully spiritual, non-different from him. The purport of this verse is that the form of Sri Krishna is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. His form is not tainted by any material qualities, nor does it have even the slightest in common with matter. It is beyond the touch of material time, place, and circumstance. Sri Krishna is present in fullness everywhere, simultaneously. He is indivisible embodiment of non-dual absolute knowledge. In the transcendental world, all the inherent qualities are limitless. So within the Madhyamakara spiritual form of Sri Krishna, the quality of sarvaga can nicely reside, even though such quality certainly cannot exist in a middle-sized item of the material world. Furthermore, unlike all material form, the spiritual body of Sri Krishna is omnipresent. Even upon the mundane material level, this is the inconceivable mystic potency of the Satchit Ananda Vigraha form of the Lord. Is this same inconceivable mystic potency exhibited in the conception, the all-pervading impersonal Brahman? Material nature is obedient to the limits of time, place, and circumstance. When an entity who is by nature actually outside the scope of time and place is equated with the all-encompassing yet limited material space, then what extraordinary transcendental qualities are being properly evoked? Right? So the soul, being eternal and having natural spiritual nature, when it puts itself within the control of the limited material space, then how can you get spiritual qualities manifesting? Right? Because the spiritual qualities means eternity, knowledge, and bliss. The Chandogya Upanishad states that the eternal abode of Sri Krishna, Vraja, is known as Brahmapura. It is absolute, fully transcendental, and endowed with unlimited spiritual variegatedness. Everything there is dynamic and spiritual, such as the paraphernalia, earth, water, all the elements, rivers, trees, the sky, sun, moon, stars, and so on. All material discrepancies are absent, and Brahmapura, Vraja, is 100% infused with divine bliss. My son, this place of Mayapur Navadvip that you reside within is also purely transcendental. However, as there is a net of Maya covering your perception, you are unable to realize the innate transcendence of this place. So the Prauda Maya is covering us, not the Dham. You know, it's just like the clouds don't cover the sun. So we have the whole material energy which is covering, right? So you can't see. But when you're in the Dham is the same as in the spiritual world. It's the same place. But the covering, that Prauda Maya, is not covering the Dham, and we're the ones that are free. The Dham is free, and we're the one that's covered. Does that make sense? So whatever we look at, we don't see the Dham. Others look, they see the Dham. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah, so that therefore Krishna can perform his pastimes here, no problem. Because the demons are then covered by this Prauda Maya. Right? Does that make sense? Or the mundane consciousness is covered by that. So that's why you can have a demon come into Vrindavan.
Yes.
Right? Keshi can come into Vrindavan. He's covered by Prauda Maya. He doesn't see the Dham. Right? He just sees it as the material place. But everybody else in Vrindavan sees it as regular. You know? It's like a spacesuit. Right?
We just need to change our consciousness.
Yes, that's all. The whole process is just changing the consciousness. That's why it says about the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, not about anything else. Yes.
So if the form, the medium form of the Lord is omnipresent,
yes,
isn't it the Dham omnipresent as well? Or is Dham present only here in Ham? Or it's present everywhere?
No, it's present here. It's just a matter, because you're in the material world, so it's like an embassy. You understand the concept of embassy? Yeah, means it represents the whole thing, but it's only how much is in here. So it's unlimited, yes, within it, the scope of it is unlimited, but at the same time is that it fits within this particular space. Like Dwarka is 10 miles by 10 miles. So that means it's 15 kilometers by 15 kilometers, right? Within that, what's his, Maharaj Ugrasena, he has 10 trillion personal bodyguards. That means they're the best of the best in his army. Right? And that's just, then there's the army. Then there's everybody else. Krishna has 16,108 palaces. You know, they all have their grounds and gardens and lakes and everything like that. Even that wouldn't fit in 10 miles by 10 miles. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing. It is unlimited, but it still fits within the limited space of here. That's the point. It's transcendental. You can't. The mundane logic doesn't really work on these things. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. I mean, the Dham which devotee is traveling around, he's turning some place into the holy place. So that means in that place.
That means that. Yes, but it's because of their presence there, because they're carrying the Lord and his activities within the heart, then that place becomes like that. But as soon as they move on, it's not like that. So if they're standing in Times Square, whoever is there, then that's like that. As soon as they move on, it's just an ordinary place. So it's traveling with them. It's not about the place they're in. Yes?
I believe it's called Tirtha, where the devotee comes somewhere.
Yeah, it's a Tirtha.
The place where Krishna takes birth.
Yes, yes. You understand the difference? So Tirtha just means it's a holy place. So it's not different, but it's still, there's a difference. Does that make sense? Like Krishna's energy are different, but at the same time they're the same. You know, the same way as the Dham and the Tirtha are the same. So when we say New York is as good as Vrindavan, it means it has that effect like the Tirtha. But service rendered in New York, you get the benefit of that service. But service rendered in Mayapur Vrindavan, you get 1,000 times the benefit. You don't get that in New York. Like that. So there is a difference, but at the same time, there's no difference. Because you're getting the same spiritual effect, just the Dham, you're getting that and another 999 times. Like that. My son, the place of Mayapur Navadvip that you reside within is also purely transcendental. However, as there is a net of Maya covering your perception, you are unable to realize the innate transcendence of this place. When, by the mercy of the saintly souls, your spiritual vision arises, then you will be able to see this holy land as it really is. You will see that Mayapur and Navadvip are transcendental realms. Then only will your stay here be realized as the perfection of Vrajavas, the residence in Vraja. Who has taught you that whoever possesses a Madhyamakara form is automatically restricted by the mundane material qualities? As long as your consciousness is polluted by such mundane conceptions, you'll be unable to realize the purely spiritual potency of the transcendental form of the Lord, simply because it apparently resembles the human appearance. So this is a very, very important point, because from this everything comes. Because if the form is the form being original, right? Form being original, and that form being Satchidananda, right? It's the source of all the energies and everything like that. So everything is coming from his form. It all resides in the form. And because of the aspect of Satchidananda, therefore these energies expand. That's why there's three energies. Right? Means there's one energy, he's one entity, non-dual. So that means his spiritual energy is also one entity. But it has the three features. Like Krishna has three features, then his Swarup Shakti has three features. Right? Each for one of the... Does that make sense? So then the understanding, of Krishna's position, like that, the understanding of the spiritual nature, the activities in Krishna consciousness, these all come from that nature. Therefore, the spiritual internal has that's transcendental. The external has just the element of the existence. And then the marginal, then it can either be covered by ignorance or it can be within the transcendence. In other words, so the madhyama, the marginal energy, then that's the position of where you see is either it's functioning in knowledge or it's functioning in ignorance. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the point. Because the spiritual nature does not have to become self-realized. So we talk about attaining self-realization, attaining the highest goal and the process and all that. It's all dealing with the living entities. It means the jivas. Right? The external energy is Krishna conscious. The internal energy is Krishna conscious. It's only the jivas can be one or the other. Does that make sense? So that's why when it's talking about self-realization, then in Om, it means the soul. Right? In other words, you have Krishna and the relationship with Krishna. You have the activities, you as the transcendental activities, like that, and M as the process of self-realization. So therefore, it's complete. But it also means Krishna, the internal potency, and the jivas. Does that make sense? Yeah. So the interesting what's there is Prabhupada's mentioning in TLC that when the Sarup Shakti becomes covered by ignorance, that's where you get the jivas. Right? Mm-hmm. So the Mayavadi is taking the Brahman is covered because they don't take the Shaktis. Mm-hmm. Yes. Right? And so when the jivas then take up spiritual life, they come under the shelter of the internal potency, right? Then they're dealing with the jnana shakti. Then they come to the natural transcendental position. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the thing. You personally just have the whole thing wrong. They're trying to attribute everything on Brahman because of their premise that there can only be Brahman because everything's just Brahman. They can't understand that Brahman has energies. But just as Brahman is a generic, impersonal, so the energies have that same manifestation. Right? With the form, then has generic qualities. So why can't that be? If he's strong, that means there has to be strength. And if he's all strength, then why can't that be all pervading? Right? And then in his Madhyama form, he's manifesting how much of his unlimited strength he wants. So it's the form that's the short. Just like the fire is there, it's the source of heat and light. So even though it's in one place, you can still get the effect of heat and light in a much broader place. So in the same way, Krishna's form being the source of all the energies, then everything can be all pervading, even though he's in his Madhya Makara form. Does that make sense? Someone else had something? No? Yes.
Some topics are very difficult to understand, like this specific one. So, should we actually try to understand it or wait, because we don't have a frame of reference, for Lord to reveal it to us? How should we deal with it?
Means you're doing both. Means you're practicing devotional service, you're trying to understand and serve the Lord. And so if you don't understand this, then it's by His grace, but it's that you would like to know, because if you don't want to know, then, you know, it'll take a little longer.
Because we've seen devotees, you know, stumble for years about some topics, which is, you know, obviously beyond their, you know...
Yes. Yeah, so the point is, you know, so you don't have to, if you can't, then don't worry about it. But if you're in proper association and you come across it here, you try to think about it. And then when it's on other topics, you think about those. So you don't worry, but it's not that, oh, it doesn't matter, that's all gyan. That kind of approach is also not going to be very helpful. You know. So the point is that both can be there. Our practice is there, and by pleasing Krishna, it's revealed. Then it's understood. But at the same time, the sambandha gyan is something we're endeavoring to try to appreciate. Because the point is if we appreciate the form as first and not the impersonal, then that means, you know, in our dealings, which is more important, the rule or the people? The people, yes. But the rule has to be applied. So now what does that mean? I have to apply that rule according to the individual. Because otherwise it's really easy to take an impersonal rule and apply it on people impersonally. That's like, you know, how you say... saying easy as falling off a log, right? You know, it's really easy. You know, you're sitting there and you go back, like, whoa, you just fall off, right? Yeah. So that's the whole, the principle. So it's something that we need to know. We need to know the sambandha gyan, because that sambandha gyan is what's applied. Otherwise, then, so much of the deities will say, oh, the devotees are so impersonal, and that's not, because they're coming from an impersonal background. That's why the point is being presented so much. You know, if we do accept Varnashram, it's only rules. It's not that, it's about relationships and how you're going to put together so many different mentalities and so many different, you know, situations, stations, unless you have a system that's sophisticated enough to handle that. So if relationship with Krishna is the most important, and every living entity can be engaged in Krishna's service, then you have to have a system, a social system, that all these varieties of people can be engaged in. Right? And so then that requires it. So that means it has it's about the personal, our personal relationship with God, the personal relationship with each other, and then you have a structure in which all that was held together. You know, just like, let's say, you have a night, you have some sweet rice, but it's kept in one place by a pot. You know, but it's not that the pot is limiting. It just makes it work together. But because we're not the personal is not the prominent thing, we just take it as rules. And these rules are difficult, right? Because it said the impersonal path is very difficult because it's so dry. So for most, the approach to Varnashram, it's very dry, and for others, they're comfortable with rules, they're inspired by rules, it's still dry. Right? So some won't apply the rules, they'd rather apply modern rules impersonally, and others want to follow the Vedic rules, but apply those impersonally. So then the difficulty comes down is that because of this, our reverse in view, then it makes it very difficult. Even though we talk about good qualities, we talk about community, we talk about cooperation, But that means you have to start from the personal, not the impersonal. Otherwise, yes, the impersonal, you know, should go very nicely, but because somebody's not being nice, they're a disruption to the force. Like that. So we want to even the force and all that. You know? Does that make sense? So, you know, some will do that, or, you know, they'll use their qi gong to balance the force, you know, like this. You know, does that make sense? So you're just creating, I think Aikido, the idea is you're just putting balance into the yin and yang. This person's aggressive, it's disturbing the yin and yang, so you deal with them in a way to neutralize that, so it goes back into the balance of yin and yang. So, you know, if you're working with that, then what about the people? So it's just that, okay, these rules make our establishment of the impersonal, everybody's equal and everybody's the same. You know, the particular rules work for that. So the modern will work better because it's based on an impersonal system. Vedic, even though it may discuss impersonalism, the impersonal aspect of the Lord, it's not impersonal. It's personal. And so those rules will be harder to understand because then you have to understand people. Is that so? So it's something worth learning. You know, we should at least have the concept of that. So we do the best we can. We try to acknowledge the devotees and the Lord and the personal relationships, and we do the best that we can realize at the present. But at the same time, as we do appreciate that, that aspect is important. So that's why Vaishnava Aparad is so we have to be careful. Right, for the Karmis, they have Vaishnava Aparad in offending the Lord. Right, the devotees, generally, they'll be careful about offending the Lord. Just Vaishnava Aparad may be a problem. Does that make sense? Yeah. So then the personal aspect, you see, it gives it makes everything work so much more smoothly because then you understand why it's working. And so therefore you're applying. Just like, come in, okay, what are we cooking? Okay, you're cooking this. And in this, you're going to use this technique, that, you're going to use that technique. And then after you boil the dal, you're going to take this much out and you're going to do this with it. The other part, you're going to do that with it. Then you're going to divide that and then you're going to do this with it. And it's like so many rules. It's just like insane. Right? Why? Because it's just rules. Now, if you cross the impersonal into the personal, then you're cooking for a particular family. It has particular individuals in it. This one likes chili in their dal. This one doesn't like chili in the dal. This one wants the sugar in the dal. This one doesn't like the sugar in the dal. This one hates Dhanyapata. This one loves Dhanyapata. So, you know, you end up cooking, you know, there's 10 family members. You know, you're cooking about 6 different kinds of dal.
That's just the dal.
Yeah. Well, no, the subjects generally go pretty much okay. Right. Somehow the dal is the breaking point. In India, it's a major thing, dal. Like that, you know. It's like I said, in Chopati, had this one. They're arranging this marriage, and they found a perfect arrangement. He was a Marwari boy, but a Gujarati girl. And he said from the beginning, they mentioned it. Who is it? This and that, you know, community Gujarat. Said no. It's kind of like, you know, what about, you know, we're getting, what about, you know, the girl, the nature, this, that. He just said no. He just heard Gujarat no. They say, why not? He says, I hate sweet dal. She's Gujarati. She's going to cook sweet dal. When we go visit the family, they're going to cook sweet dal. I'm not eating sweet dal. Forget it. So then, you know, kind of like pleasantly or kind of like in a joking mood, but, you know, serious, they actually made a contract and everybody had to sign it, you know, that he's not going to get sweet dal. So it's not a problem in these big families because they're already doing that anyway. You know, so that's all. It just means you boil, because you don't boil the dal with sugar, because sugar stops things from cooking. So you're going to put the sugar last. So therefore, just, you know, before you put the sugar, you take his dal. It's not a big deal at all. Yeah, but it's important. You know. So once you know that, and understand who eats what, and the kids, then they, you know, they can't eat so much chili, or, you know, they just eat this sabji or like that. Then you understand what you'd make. Okay, this one everybody's eating, so there's a lot of that. This sabji only these people eat. You know, does that make sense? So once the personal is understood, then all those rules and regulations are very easy. But if we're approaching it from the impersonal, then, you know, the philosophy and the religion become very, very you know, big. Like Varnashram, it's just one of those topics. People don't even want to talk about it or consider it because of that impersonal approach. They just see it as rules, restrictive rules, you know? But I'm saying, we're talking about the West is so free and all that. Have you seen Calcutta?
Yeah.
I can walk across the street anywhere.
Yeah.
Right? It's a 6-lane highway. I can walk across it. No one will stop me. Try that in any major Western city of the world. You can't do that. Where's the freedom? You know? What happens if you litter in the West? Right? You know, $50 fine, $100 fine. Calcutta is just one big garbage can. You can throw garbage anywhere you like. You can go to the bathroom anywhere you like. You know, it's just like the freedom is like so great.
You can yell at anyone.
Yeah, yell. It's just like you know, Calcutta's like the epitome of freedom. You know, like that, and they're so proud that they're free in the West. You're not free at all. You know, Calcutta's free. You know, there you go to any shop there, you're paying tax. In Calcutta, you don't have to pay tax. You want a bill, you pay tax. You don't want a bill, you don't have to pay the tax. You know, can you do that? You know, walk into, you know, how you say, you know, Gucci or something and tell them, well, you know, just don't give a bill like that and they don't pay the tax. Yeah, yeah. It doesn't work, you know, so who's restricted? You know? Yeah, so it's just like, you know, it's like... Yeah. It may be stretching it to say it's the spiritual realm, but well, you know, within that area of you know, how you say, Tali Gunj, within a certain, anyone remembers the circumference? There's a certain amount that's considered a tirtha, automatically.
It's 30 kilometers?
I'm not sure, but there's a certain area. Yeah. And also then anything within 3 miles of the Ganga, it's Ganga water. Mm. So like where the temple is, that water is all Ganga water. That pond across the street, that's Ganga water. Mm. You know, so...
Also, Ganga used to flow in Tali Gunj before.
Yeah? Yes. Oh, it was right next to the Ganga.
Mm. Adi Ganga. It's still called Adi Ganga, but only the gutter flows now.
Oh, okay. Oh, so Adi Ganga means where it used to flow. Mm. Okay, cool. So, you know... Yes?
The difficulty nowadays seems to be is that hence, many project or system oriented, the human factor is the most vulnerable point in the mm-hmm. whole thing.
Right.
So everybody's trying to get rid of that.
Yes, yes.
And then everything works apparently perfectly.
And how has that worked out in the last 30 years? I haven't seen it work. In fact, since they got rid of the personal aspect, I haven't seen any, you know, general management work at all anywhere. Individuals can manage things, but in general it doesn't. You don't have same standards, same efforts, same understanding, same like that. So, see, the point is that it's, again, you're starting in the reverse order. So if you start from the Shudra position, means the bureaucrat, you know, so we're very, you know, clearly pointing it out here. Bureaucrats are Shudras. So their mentality of just, it's a desk job, it's papers, they want to see that, what do you call it? The, what is that called? The they call it, they have a name for it, the line of papers, you know, the trail of papers. The paper trail of everything, all the emails and all that. And that's what establishes everything. You missed one thing you don't get. You know, have you ever gone into one of these government offices, you know, one paper, you didn't sign here, the whole thing, you just thrown out, you have to go back, start all over, you know, it's insane.
Yeah.
Just because the guy can, right? So everybody's got to be the same. So we have to understand is in the point of equality, this comes along with it. Everything's the same, so therefore you have to get rid of the personal. You can't have individuals, you can't have anyone do something you don't expect because all you know is rules, so you don't know personal, so you don't know the variety, like we see in Nectar Devotion. One Sanchari Baba has so many variations, right? And that's, you know, and that's just general, it's 4 or 5 different variations, you know. And so... And then how it'll come up, what'll be the cause of it, and all that. It can come up from others. So it has so many things happening. But if you get rid of the personal, then it's just always exactly the same. So this idea of managerial perfection is getting rid of the people. It may be managerial for bureaucrats, but it's not leadership, because leadership, you're leading people, not management systems. A leader leads people. Managers work with management systems. Right? Leaders, if they know, they can also work with it. They can do both. But the point is managers can only work with the rules of the system. They can't work with people. So that's why they want to impersonalize it, just make generic rules that everybody's got to follow, except themselves, of course. That's also the very extremely typical element of these rules. You know, everybody else has to do things for free, but, you know, they have to maintain themselves, so, you know, everybody else has to pay. So not only do you not get paid, you have to pay for them.
Yes.
You know, it's yes. Typical. It's pretty standard like that. And if we look at it in history, it didn't go down well any time that came up like that. That's where revolutions come from. Right. So the whole point is they're talking management, that they're using the most inefficient like that. Because if that is there, I mean, they could take it, okay, we're Gaudias, so that means we're from Bengal, so then when we do actually apply management, we'll apply the Bengali bureaucratic management. And so, therefore, just inherently they do that, even though they'll say, oh, we're Westerners, we're doing this, we're Americans, we're so good, like that. But, you know, still Bengali bureaucrats. But the nice thing about Bengali bureaucrats, if you please them personally, everything happens. You don't even have to bring the papers. Just you know, it's done. Yeah, just like that. It's just nothing. But if you don't, it doesn't matter. Even the paper that they've given you, it's the wrong paper. You know. I remember once they gave a thing. It was like maybe, 2.5 centimeters long. A square. I mean a square, and then the height was maybe 1 centimeter. In that, you have to sign your full name. So I had signed it bigger because it's like that. And they thought, no, it has to fit in the box. You have to re-sign it that it fits in the box. It's kind of like, okay. So that's it. For all the criticism of all that about India and how it's not working and now that, then they're just following the same thing. But, you know, at least they've been doing it for a long time, so, you know, it works. You know. Does that make sense? You know, you just show up in the meeting, it doesn't work. You know everybody in the meeting, you're talking outside the meeting, then it goes fine for you. You know, what's the difference? You know, so one has to see is that by starting with the personal, Krishna is a person, we're people, and we're an individual. The particular relationship with Krishna is very specific, very individual, but it still fits in the context of the social structure, and so that everybody can work together, because we're talking management. That's why we're, you know. And so, therefore, it all can fit into there nicely. But you still have to consider people. You're working with different people. And those different people have to be able to appreciate. But it has to be understood in no way, shape, or form in any successful administrative system are bureaucrats on the top. You know, if it was, then why isn't it just, it's just a parliament or something like that? Why is there a president, or why is there a prime minister or a chancellor? Because you need a person. So that combination between the personal and impersonal, that's how it works. You have the king, you have the bureaucracy. But the bureaucracy is controlled by the king. Otherwise, they get out of hand. It's one of the major things that a king has to do, is that on this, you know, the village level, the city level, you have these government officers. He always has to be constantly checking that they're not cheating the people. Because the typical thing is he collects taxes and this and that, he will live very well. Because he has to send a certain amount, he'll collect more than that and keep the rest for himself. The people will suffer. But the government is supposed to protect the people. So when he comes along and finds that's what they're doing, the rule is he takes everything away from them and then, you know, banishes them. So all that can go back to where it came from. You know what I'm saying? So one always has to see. So if you're having that, then who's seeing to that? If you're having an administrative system, you have to see to that. So the Kshatriyas are seeing to that, but the Kshatriyas are doing things according to what the Brahmins say, according to Shastra. So if you're not, it's just what's best for management and this Vedic system gets in the way, it's like, go join another society. You know? I don't know what, you know, Managers Incorporated or something. Or, you know.
Yes.
You know, it's just like, you know, it's the wrong society. So, as long as we use these other systems, it will find it doesn't work. See, it means, if we can say it's no, but it's all about Krishna consciousness, then it should be all about Krishna consciousness. Why? It's all about Krishna consciousness, but we're going to use this material system. Then we'll say yukta vairagya. But where is the yukta and where's the vairagya? Right? So you have to show how that's connecting to Krishna. You can use things, but it has to be, it's about Krishna. But when we make it about the managerial system, and therefore the efficiency of the managerial system, that's what is pleasing to Krishna. No, it's about the people who are involved in it. That's why before, people could not be a great manager and be a really good temple president. And everything went very, very nicely. Because there was no bureaucracy. Bureaucracies are really expensive. That's why you see the people who actually make money, they like to see small governments. And those who can't manage, they always want bigger and bigger, bigger governments. Right? So,
Switzerland is one example.
They have minimal
people in the government.
Yeah, and then you see it works very nicely. It works like...
They manage the world's money.
Yeah, clockwork. Right, you know, would be the appropriate term. Yeah, so that's the whole thing, is that that's the efficient way of doing it. You know, so the point is it's like that one said, it was a young entrepreneur, you know, very, very, very up and coming, very, you know, one of the ones that's, it's enough where he's worth noticing, so they'll write an article about him and stuff. And in the interview, then he made the point, they ask him what's his political leaning. Yeah, because young people and this and that, and, you know, kind of more aware and conscious, they generally all tend to be liberal. Right? He says, by you know, how you say, I think it was kind of, I can't remember if he used philosophy or you know, the theory, or by the social structure, he's liberal. But by economics, he's conservative. Because the conservative is the ones that make the money. You know, you have to follow rules, otherwise you don't make money. You can't do whatever you want. You have to follow the rules. And so those that make that money, they want to see small governments because they actually make the money. And the liberals who don't make the money, then they want to see bigger governments to make sure that they get all the money from those who are making money.
Some people put it into a dual axis where it's authoritarian and libertarian and then left-wing and right-wing. So you have all the money makers, the libertarian right-wing.
Okay.
Because they want minimal government, but maximum structure, so you can actually economics can function.
But okay. But you can just turn those. Because the libertarian will be over in the conservative side, and what was the other one? Authoritarian. That's going to be in the liberal side. See, those who are liberal, they want to make it look like the conservatives are the authoritarians, actually they're the authoritarians, because for the conservative, it's about being an individual, you're yourself. Though there are social structures and rules and tradition, you have to follow that. But the liberals says, no, we don't have to follow any rules except our rules. And then we're going to establish governance to see that everyone follows our rules. Everybody is equal. You know, it's just like that one professor in Canada. Yeah, that the students in the class, he can't just say, you know, use the regular terms like that. They have to be called by, you know, your carrot topness,
They wanted that embedded in the law that you had to call them.
Yeah, it's just like that. Then the whole point is you know, that's what it's for, all these things. Why can't they just have a generic thing? You know, we'll just call everybody it. You know.
Your itness.
Yeah, your itness. Your itness, so yit. You know.
In Russian it's funny because it has the middle gender.
Yes.
It has he, she, or the middle, which is like perfection.
Yeah, so we just call everybody by that middle gender, so then it doesn't matter.
Way ahead of us.
Yeah, like that.
Then nobody's offended or nothing.
Yeah.
So it's highly impersonal, but whatever it is.
But that's what they want, it seems.
Yeah, so you understand, so that's the whole thing, by the effect of the Jnana Shakti, then everybody's an illusion. So the liberals an illusion that if we make everybody the same, control everybody, which they can't, that then we'll be happy. And then the conservatives think if everybody is free and does whatever they want, then they'll be happy, and they're not. So that's the whole point. Unless one's Krishna conscious, you can't actually be happy. So that's the whole point, is that the Krishna conscious, the Vedic system, is that perfect blend of these, because it's the origin of them. These come out of that. Is that it's liberal and that's about the individual, but it's conservative that there's rules that of the structure and how all these different variety of individuals can work together. That's the whole point, is you have to have a system that individuals can work cooperatively together, and that's the Vedic system. The modern that there's not one of their systems that works like that.
It's interesting, we're always good at finding the weakness in the other systems. We just need to take it one step further, include our own, like, illusory system, right?
Yes.
And then it'll be very obvious that it's only the baby and only Krishna.
It's the only thing that holds all of it together.
Yeah.
Like that. So that's the whole point. Because whatever you have, even you have anarchists, they still have all their rules. I mean, they've always come up with the presupposition is if you get rid of everybody, then everything will be perfect. You know? You know, but their starting is still their rule. You know,
I'm not racist. I hate everybody.
Yes. Was that Kushwant Singh? Is he still around, Kushwant Singh?
He died.
Okay, he had an editorial. I'm not sure which paper that, but you know, when from way back. He was a Sikh gentleman, and so his column was the name of it. With malice for one and all. So he could criticize himself. You know, most Indians can't criticize themselves. Uh-huh. He could criticize himself, goof on anybody. It was just like, you know, he was a total riot just every time. Just what's going on in society. You know, if he's doing something in India, it's about that. He's in the West, he's goofing on that. It's just like, you know, everybody gets goofed on. You know, it's like a... It was like what was saying, like Henry VIII's jester. Mm. You know, he goof on the king. Sometimes he'd sit on the throne and, you know, do all these different things, and the king had to throw him out to sit down and stuff. You know, so yeah, something like that. Yes.
So can we say, Maharaj, that Varnashrama basically it's a flexibility within stability?
Yes. Yes, that's the whole point, is that unless you're accepting Achinta Beta Veda Tattva, you can't really understand Varnashram. People in the other lines, they use Varnashram, but you see that their understanding of it is still a bit rigid. It's not as personal as it could be. It's as personal as they need to be. You know, it'll get you to Vaikuntha, or it'll get you to the heavenly planets. You know, or they can even get liberated. But they won't get to Braj. So that's the whole thing, is that our understanding of it accommodates everybody. That's why we can preach to anybody, anywhere, in any situation. We don't have a problem. You know? So that's the thing, is that it's so perfect in that, like what you said, it has that individuality that within a stable
structure.
So that's the thing, is that when you deal with conservatives, they'll apply the rule to everybody. So they'll have that impersonal aspect, but in general, everyone's more free, so there's less applying of rules. So it appears there's more freedom because they apply the rules less. They have less rules to apply, but still they're impersonal. The other ones have more rules, but they're still impersonal. They're trying to make it, everybody's an individual. But let's say if someone's an individual, he wants to be called by that, but I'm also an individual, you know, why do I have to call him by that title?
No.
You know, why not make something common for everybody?
I identify as a person who doesn't use that word.
Yes. So then I'm sorry, I can't say, you know, you're going to make go against my own, you know.
Individuality.
Yeah.
So
the whole point is you can, you know, really have fun with these things. So the whole point is that it's not about, now everybody has to do like this. So it's just like some people have an idea, okay, this group, this demographic is like this. Then they're wrong. But everybody in the demographic that they're in is now within that demographic and dealt with in an impersonal way by those who are in the other socially, you know, politically correct, you know, demographic. So that's the whole thing, is this, all it is a switch of exactly the same thing. You know, hence the point of, you know, pigs in suits. So it's not popular. It means no one's even made a painting of it, right? Dogs at dinner, that they've made a painting of. Huh? Yeah, they've done that, but not pigs in suits around the dinner table. No one did that one. So, yes.
They call this group identity.
Group identity.
You identify a certain group with certain backwards.
Yes.
And the individuals inside the group, they are not anymore part of individuals. They are just belonging to this group.
Group. Okay. So group identity. So for all other groups other than your own group, then there's group identity. And in your group, there's all these, you know, intellectual, wonderful individuals who are just striving for perfection. Yeah, okay. Yeah, all the romantic and, you know, all the nice stuff like that, yeah.
And the funny thing is that it comes back from Marxist, communistic ideology, because they would identify the bourgeois in this way.
Yeah.
And they would just get rid of them. And like you.
Yeah, yeah.
You might give a lot of value
to them. Again, get rid of them, yeah. Then you got rid of all the vices, and then they economically collapse. You know. It's not very smart. You know, so. Is that... You know, so there they economically collapsed, but, you know, they had some structure. And then on the other side of the pond, the other side of the ice cap, then they give it all to, everything's run by the bourgeois, and then you lose the whole social structure. So you have money, but no social structure. The other ones have social structure, no money. So that's why the Vedic, it has to be balanced. You have to have all these things. But there's rules what is superior. So knowledge is superior to influence, is superior to economics, is superior to knowledge and skills, right? Because also we talk about knowledge and skills. It's the Shudra level. Because when we say knowledge and skills, we mean arts. We're not talking science. So, you know, knowledge and skills, Shudra. Bureaucracy, Shudra. You know, it's all about everybody, Shudra. You know, equality, Shudra. It means this, all these things are, and we're talking that, and then we're saying that this is the, how you say, the epitome of organization. The EOO.
So now we know who to blame. Is it French?
The French. Good you brought up this morning, because there's only one representative. On other days you sometimes have three or four, right? Yeah, that means you could say it because they thought the most about these political things, and so then they would say these things. But what comes up is that, in one sense, if it's balanced, because you have, when we're talking about right and left, right means liberty, and left means equality and fraternity. I mean, what is it? Equality and fraternity.
Yeah.
So one emphasizes one emphasizes the other. Most represent equality, not fraternity. Mm-hmm. They want it equal. They couldn't care less if they're your friend. then you have that small sentimental group where it's all, we can just all be together and wouldn't it be so nice and all that. And so they're a small group that kind of both tolerate because they're nice, you know, like that. But technically that's it. So that's the Vedic, it's all three together. Right? Because Krishna is the controller, he's the enjoyer, and he's the friend. So if it's based on him, then the laws are his, but you're applying to the individual because everybody's an individual servant of the Lord. So you have your liberty, but at the same time, is there still rules? Like that. You know, everybody, you're supposed to see all living entities equally and that you're going to deal nicely with them. But you have to see that the conditioning that they're in is unique and individual and has to deal with it accordingly. So it's just a lack of intelligence and discrimination. So that they're using their intelligence to cultivate lack of intelligence. And the other one's using intelligence to cultivate, you know, how you say, influence and money. You know? And then the other group figures out how to get it away from them. You know, so it's just, how you say, age old, like that. So, but yes, you could say the French articulated it, but they did have all three together. But, you know, how...
Not yet.
Huh?
Not yet.
Yeah, no, I'm saying that the philosophy was all three, but their ability to apply it may not have worked out quite as well as they wanted.
There were glitches.
Yeah, some glitches were there. But that's the whole point, is anything other than the Vedic, there'll always be glitches, no matter how good it is. Right? The Romans were good, but the West Empire went down, you know, what is it? They went, you know, 4 and 7, so 1,100 years. And the East went down another, it went another, I think, 1,000 years after that. But still, it disappeared. You know. And so they all go. Whatever it is, they come up, they disappear. So the Vedic, you can still see, is Varnashram still, you know, now it's less because of people trying to take up the West of that somehow or another, that's the cat's meow. But otherwise, it's been going on in India for thousands of years. Even when you take contemporary history, last 5,000 years. The West does not have one system that's stood the test of time like that. You know, it's like you don't have that similar kind of thing. Does that make sense? So they have the same structure and same culture. While you go farther east, they have similar culture, but they've, you know, their structures, you know, go. Though the Confucian kind of thing, they still kind of use it. You know? So we see is that even if you want to use the Asian one, it works better because they're considering the culture of it, the people, the individuals, and they're able to get people to commit to the system. So that's the whole point, is you individually are convinced and commit to the system. While in the Western kind of systems, to be an individual, you kind of have to ignore the system. You know? So that's the problem. It doesn't have a balance. So you always have to start with Krishna because he's a person. That's why the personal aspect is important. Because if you don't include the personal, which Varnashram does, you can't get it to work. Right. You know, it's just like even in the West, you have a political revolution. Right? In China, they had a cultural revolution. You know, of course, they revolted against culture and tossed it out, but, you know, still it was about the culture.
But it is these people.
Huh?
People are starting.
Yeah. So you're always going to have this mix. Someone's getting this, someone's getting that. So you think, oh, we'll take from here, there, and put it together and make a perfect system. But the difficulty comes up is you can't. You're in the material world. The three modes, there will be mistakes. Well, the Vedic system, it's given by those who do not make mistakes because they've gotten it from the original person who doesn't. There's no mistake, right? He is the existence. So therefore, he establishes how it works. We can say as it doesn't work, but then we're saying that Krishna and his energies aren't eternal and they don't always work. The laws, his laws that govern everything, don't always work. So therefore, we have to, in our intelligence, have to come up with the practical things. So that's deism. That's why it doesn't work. You deify, you know, the Lord. You know, you want to keep the sentiment, but you deify, put him at a distance, then we do what we want. There's a name for beings, the deism, but there's also that whole group. The guy on the 20. He was the banker for America. Everybody else got into political. He ran the bank. Yeah, I can't remember. It's one of the main names. If you hear the name, you'll. So he was one of those. You know, it's a very common thing. You know, God made the world, and now you know we're supposed to manage it. So that kind of thing. So human beings, by their effort, they'll make the world perfect. Rather than, yes, you make the effort in context of Krishna consciousness under God's direction, then that's perfection. But externally, it'll never be completely perfect. You know? You get as good as you can. So, and then from that also, just like we were discussing about like the Ayurveda, is that when you see it's about people, then you get it as close as possible. When we try to get 100% when dealing with people, means we're just dealing impersonally. You know, because this is the best thing there is. Yes, this is the best. Yes. But Ayurveda gives 20 different ways you can attain that. Literally. There's 20 cures for every disease. And so that's why then in certain areas, certain things will be more prominent. Because the people in there, by their modes, they prefer those particular ways. So that's just how it works. So this idea, this is the only way to accomplish it. If you don't do this, then you can't like that. That's not Ayurveda. They've learned something from. They're dabbling. You know, which is, it's not bad, but they have to be, understand that since it's personal, you have to apply it to the individual. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let us say, okay, we have really bad dysentery. Okay? So now, the diets for that, generally terrible. The medicine for that, also terrible. Right? By the contemporary method. Like that. But Prabhupada gave one where you take hot puris and fried eggplant. But it has to be, both of them have to be so hot you can't hardly touch it. You know, it's like straight out of the, you know, it's not like you cook it and then half an hour later you eat it. It's got to be straight out of the pot onto your plate, and then you have to try to eat it at that heat. You know, don't burn yourself, but, you know, as hot as possible. You know, and don't overeat.
Maybe that's why it has to be so hot.
Yeah. And so that'll get rid of it. Or another one is, if it's not that bad a dysentery, but it's you know, got diarrhea, then hot rasgullas, means after they're cooked, they're hot. So if you take them during that, somehow hot sugar binds. Cold sugar doesn't. It's just there's chemical effects. The West doesn't necessarily acknowledge or understand this. You know? So there's all these nice things that you could use. So let's say you're trying to, you know, get a kid to, then you give them hot rasgullas. You know? But then someone doesn't like sugar, so you can't use that one. So you know, or you have all kinds of nice things. You have that, ever dealt with isabgol? Like that? It's fleeced husk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it works really well for different things, you know. But the thing is it takes more work. So if someone can handle preparations, this, so many things at this time of day, doing this, that, you can use it. But if someone just wants an immediate thing that you just do nothing, then that's your allopath medicine. You know what I'm saying? So that's why you find what works for the individual. Does that make sense? So they'd be so good, they would find what would work. Is that?
Yeah. So much simpler. You eat more curd. You eat more yogurt.
Well, that's for those who are already eating yogurt. For them, rice and yogurt is if nothing else, you have that. But if someone from the north, they have to eat rice and yogurts. Like, you know, forget it.
A little bit of pepper.
Sorry?
A little bit of pepper.
Yeah, pepper. But also if you put, you know how you get, you'll get mucus from the if you put the roasted cumin powder, then it won't create mucus. You know, or milk, they're saying that. You put turmeric in it and boil it with the turmeric, it won't create. It'll get rid of mucus, in fact. So that's, there's all these nice things that you can find that just work into the diet. But then you have to do it right. You have to do it properly. Otherwise, you put too much turmeric in the milk, then no one wants to drink it. And then it's like that eternally. Yes. Yes.
Maharaj, can we say that when the jiva is coming to the material world, he's saying that he's not servant of Krishna?
Yes, he's not servant of Krishna.
So this means it's like he take out Krishna of the picture.
Mm, yes.
And all these sambandha that we are mentioning in the beginning is just to try to... recover our relationship.
Yes. No, that's an interesting way. Yeah. Nice. Does that make sense?
No, I couldn't.
Couldn't hear. He was saying is that since the jiva comes to the material world as a conditioned living entity, basically they've removed Krishna from the equation. So it's just themselves and then their effort. So then they're naturally going to be hard for them to concept of Krishna as a person. You got to do it according to him as a person. Yes. Right? And so, and ourself as a person, but everybody else is just a cog in the machinery of our organization to get what we want.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know. So then the sambandha gyan, that's reestablishing that lost relationship with the Lord. Mm-hmm. So that knowledge, that things, it helps. So that's why certain things are difficult because of that impersonal concept.
Yes.
And so that's why we just regularly hear it always comes up. It's just now that we'll start to notice it. Because before it always says about how Krishna and he's Bhagavan and six opulences is the source. We hear it all the time. We just don't necessarily pay attention. But now Jiva Goswami's pointed out this is very important. Because if that's understood, then you reverse the process. It's what Sarva Dharma Parityaja means. You're starting with Krishna, the person. Then you're coming back to, you know, how I as a person fit into that, rather than I'm a person and how does everything else fit into my perception. You know, that's how we get the modern issues, is because it's my values and the Vaishnav religion and philosophy, the culture and religion has to fit into my concept of morality. So which ones I accept, I take, and which ones I don't, then I don't. You know, and because the Vedic is so broad, generally everybody can still find their place to be involved. That's why you see is that the students that they're coming to Lord Chaitanya's school, they're all following the Vedic culture. And so in that way, they're going to a school and he's the best, so they're going to the best. And like that, but as far as actually understanding devotional service and these higher, the personal aspects, they don't understand at all. So they've accepted only how much of theirs, but at least it's within the system. Like that. So that's why it's a superior system. Because it can accommodate everybody. But there has to be that basic piety of willingness to follow the rules of authority. That Shabda is, that Veda is the authority. Yes?
So if we follow the same idea, trying to remove God, then sambandha would be material education.
Yes.
Prayojana is sense gratification.
Yes.
And the job, those are the means.
Yeah, that's the abhideya, it gets you the money, so therefore, and then you have to go on the vacation, and it was actually easier when you just went to work.
Yes. Sometimes you need a holiday after a vacation.
Yes. That's why you always say, if you have a two-week holiday, only go for 10 days, so that you have 4 days to recover from the holiday.
Because sometimes we see, actually, devotees, they ran two parallel lines.
Yes.
One is with Krishna and one is trying, you know, like that. Because
yes.
Who knows?
Yes, just in case. Yeah. So that's the difficulty will come up, is that then they're not seeing Krishna on that other side, so they're leading dual lives. You know, in the temple, the morning program, it's one life, and outside the morning program, it's a different life. So that's the perfection of the Vedic system. It's all one life. That's a varna and ashram, because the sadhana is part of ashram, and the varna, that's your work. So it's all part of one system. But we see in it that the varna is subservient to the ashram. The ashram's the spiritual. The varna is just how you maintain your spiritual position. So, you know, so then it's seen. But otherwise, it's nowadays it's made that, the occupation is more important. So then, where's the life? Where's the ashram?
So then you have divorce rates skyrocketing.
Yes, divorce rates, everything falls apart. And we only worry about the divorce rates. What about the kids messed up from that?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's not even seen.
No.
Right? So that's the problem is family, you know, in the modern kind of what word you use? That premise is that everybody else messes up kids. The society messes up kids, teachers mess up kids, video games, they mess up, families never mess up kids. But the point is, if you have 75 divorce rate, 75%, that means 75% of the kids are messed up from the divorce. Then you throw into it all these other things, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the, So that's the difficulty, is we have our mundane premises, and we don't see what's the basis of how things function.
We can't, because it would violate our material sambandhya.
Yes, then like as Prabhu mentioned, then our point is that our goal is sense gratification, therefore that's gained by the activity of getting money, and that's gained by having particular knowledge and skills.
So that was also what Prabhu was mentioning, was it yesterday, about these axioms, haven't been established, but we hold on to them. So
yes, it's just like, if you have money, you'll be happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Somehow or another, basically means, you know, it's like, you know, you want to be rich, but everyone knows the rich aren't happy.
Yeah.
You know, the poor aren't happy. So actually, the middle class has shot, but they're not happy because they want to be rich.
Yeah. But it's easy, because then at least you can blame it on that.
Yes, you can blame it on it.
You're still not happy. That's worse. Because now what?
Yeah. Now what?
Also, we saw before the lecture of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was discussing with the king, and he pointed out that by worshipping the deity is that you tend to become more personal. And the king said that, as soon as I heard about the news you're coming, then your form came into my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Then he says, by worshipping the deity, it's a very essential
part. Okay. Okay. So then, since we're having to establish this, then we see the deity worship, you know, is there. So these five main things, and then that's supported by the Varnashram.
I think Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that to go beyond Kanishtha, you have to serve the deity.
To go beyond Kanishtha, you have to serve the deity. Yeah, because otherwise it'll just be about yourself.
Yeah.
While serving the deity, you're getting up because you have to go serve the deity.
All the senses are
or you're careful in cooking because of the deity. That's fine. From ourself is from Griyamedi, then it moves to Krishna as the center. Then it becomes Grihastha. Yeah, very good point. Very good point. Does that make sense? So you have the Krishna consciousness as the main. That's the main principle. And then you have the Vedic. In other words, Bhagavat's the main. Then that's then formalized by the Pancharatra, because it regulates all the Bhagavat to make sure you do it. Like chanting, you do all 24 hours. You never stop chanting. But Pancharatra will regulate it until you have a certain time of japa and things like that. You know, you're always absorbed in worshipping Krishna, but then Pancharatra will regulate that these times you're worshipping the deity. You know, you're always associated with the Vaishnavas and that on the transcendental platform, but then you have the Bhagavatam and the Kirtans and things like that. You know, wherever you are, then that's always connected to Krishna. And so, but then here it regulates it. So then you see that you're doing. All right? So that then becomes the main support for it, because it's non-different, but it still has that formality. Then you have supporting that, the Vedic. Right? So then the Vedic, then that has the social structure and all the religious aspects are there that you use to support the Ekayana service to the deity. You know, in the Pancharatric system there, which is then serving Krishna according to the Bhagavad. Does that make sense? So that's why it comes up like that. So all the religious systems are there in the Vedic. But for us, the Pancharatra is the most important. So, that make sense? Because it directly supports the Bhagavad. Right? The Vedic indirectly supports it, but it's about that. That's all it's about. Because all the Pancharatra means all the Vedic elements that are taken out that are on the principle of the Supreme, worshipping the Supreme Lord. So all the rules and regulations that are about worshipping the one Supreme Lord, that's Pancharatra. Right? So Pancharatra is the Vedic monotheism. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, as far as religious processes go. Right? So that's there. And so then the Vedic, more than that, what you require, then that also then can support. But that's the purpose of the Vedic, is to follow everything in connection with the Lord to develop pure devotion. Yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.